Thank you guys all for tuning in, and welcome to the 7th episode of the Grand Slam. I am here with my coworker Charles Flannery. I will introduce him in a second. He has been on my show a few weeks ago, so I just wanted to bring him back. Before we get into that, I wanted to just cover a couple of my promotions that I've been doing recently. The first one is Headliners Barbershop. They are on Grant and First Avenue, and they're just a great place. You know, you go in, you'll get a really nice haircut, and you get a great conversation with it, too. The guys actually really care. They're great guys, easy, fun, get a good conversation about sports, school, really whatever you want to talk about. They'll be there. Great place. Go check it out. Secondly, is I've been doing some promotions with a company, Alien Pros, as you guys have probably been hearing on my last couple podcasts. They are a sports equipment grip company. So I recently just bought one of their golf grips and attached it on my 3-wood. And I went to the range the other day, and it was completely new club. Was hitting very well. Was very happy with it. And I look forward to keep doing some more promotions with them coming in the future. Because I recently just bought a new Louisville Slugger bat, and it's a 32-29, so I took that to the batting cages yesterday, put in some work in that, and it was fun. I haven't swung a club in God knows how long, 5 or 6 years. But in the meantime, I would like to formally introduce my coworker, Charles Flannery. Charles, welcome to the show.
Morning, sports fans. How you doing?
And so, yeah, we are in the studio today. We just got off our 8 a.m. show that we both have to work. And I've been working with Charles for almost 9 months now, which is pretty crazy. And Charles is one of the guys that I can absolutely go to for just sports knowledge whenever you need it. He's the guy that he doesn't even have to look it up online. And that absolutely helps me for a young sports fan who, you know, wants to keep going with this kind of thing and wants to keep this train rolling. So it definitely helps when you get a guy with experience like Charles, and just his repertoire is just so huge. So yeah, Charles, crazy weekend, crazy past week in sports, I'd say.
I mean, so much going on.
One of the most intense, at least like weekends, I'd think, last weekend, when those two games went down, my goodness, I know you're a Pats fan, you're thinking about putting some big money on this game. Man. First, we got to start with the NFC, because that's just the talk of the town. That's the talk of the country. What were your thoughts on that end, on that last call?
The refs have admitted to missing this call.
Yeah.
And everybody and anybody, millions of people saw this. Helmet to helmet.
Yep.
Pass interference.
Yep.
What happened?
Yep.
Not a thing. No flags. I didn't even see, you know, if I can remember correctly, I don't think Sean Payton even challenged.
Nope.
And he should have.
Is that play even challengeable?
I don't know if it is or not.
I don't think
it is challengeable.
Because there was no official play on it.
That's right.
I don't know if you can officially, that'd be something for me to look up. I don't know if you can officially challenge a non-call. Like, I don't know if you can challenge something to try to make the refs make a actual
call. I think if that play was within the last 2 minutes, then it's a booth.
Automatic.
Yeah, it's a booth reviewable play.
Right.
And I know that everybody knows that would have been reversed automatically.
100%.
I mean, you're talking
headhunting.
Blatant.
Like that's something you do in a video game when you're trying to piss off your friend. When they're up by 40 and you've given up and all you want to do is just knock them to the ground.
Yeah, you either want to clothesline somebody or blatantly injure them.
Actually, I was just surprised by, I mean, Sean Payton, in my mind, dude's got every reason to be livid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, that's everything for them on the line.
They were even talking about, I don't know if they did it or not, suing the NFL on that call.
Yeah.
And wanting the whole game replayed.
Right. What I was talking about yesterday on my podcast is, like, the league has got to be better. They have got to be better than this because this just keeps happening. There's calls like this that happen in the playoffs every year that go down in history that they're like, what in the world is going on here?
Yep, you'll see all these highlight videos and all that, and they'll say, okay, and here comes the play that changed the whole game, and we don't even have to keep reiterating what we're talking about here.
Exactly.
But that play is going to go down in NFC Championship history.
History, absolutely. And that was just, you know, as a fan, when you watch that, as a fan that isn't a fan of either of the, I'm a Niners fan, but seeing that as just like a football fan, you're just shocked. And Benjamin Watson actually came out the other day. He posted on social media calling out Roger Goodell, saying, "You have got to be better, dude. You have got to be a little bit better on your enforcement of these calls." And the referees that are actually going into this league, there's got to be something. There's got to be a change.
Now, wasn't Mr. Goodell, I will not call him by his, because what he's done with the Patriots over the years, was he at the NFC Championship or AFC Championship game?
I don't actually know.
I know he was at one of them. I believe he was at the Patriots game, but I'm not positive.
I don't know. I wasn't paying too close attention.
But for him to sit there, I know he cannot reverse a call or anything like that. But you cannot be serious just sitting there and saying, there's nothing. That's not a clean play.
There's been no word from him at all.
No.
Nothing. One word.
He never does.
No.
The only thing he reaches out to is when... now they're calling Brady, instead of the GOAT, the LOAT, luckiest of all time.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if you heard that or not.
I haven't actually.
Yeah, now it's the LOAT. And, the reason, you know, I just said it because the luckiest of all time.
Yeah.
But how can anybody just sit there and, you know, when the guy goes, helmet to helmet, where does he actually go? Did he go into, concussion protocol right after that?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nope.
I didn't see him go under that tent.
Nope.
And, you know, now, guess what? Doesn't matter now. The Saints are not going to be in Atlanta.
Doesn't matter.
Because they would have scored. They would have scored.
Absolutely. Yeah. They were right there. They could have kicked it. It was right there.
Yeah, the game was over.
That was it.
Yep.
And these are just like these are little things that come down to a season that you have your whole, the Saints, I mean, obviously we know how good they are with that running back duo. My goodness. But, like, I didn't think the Saints would actually get to this point, or got to that point that they were at. I mean, they just seemed, ever since that Super Bowl, I just don't think that they've had that close ability. And
no.
It really looked like it was getting down to the wire on that one.
Yeah, I figured that Breeze would bring him all the way down the field and,
yep.
and close it out.
Right.
And he was doing it.
Yep.
But like we said, one call.
That was it.
Changed the whole scenario.
I think it was John Johnson who was kind of that hothead on one of these. There was another play that was not controversial, but it was close. It was a sideline hit, and he got really amped, and he was really fired up, and he was trying to fire his teammates up, and I don't know. It just seemed like at the time he just had a lot of energy going for him.
Yeah,
so
I remember that.
Just,
yeah, I remember that.
You know, it was right on the sideline. The guy was his teammate was smiling a bit. He had this really big face on, and you could just tell that he was trying to get people going. So obviously in that play, I don't think it's like your first thought is, okay, I'm going to go for the guy. But I think it was just the adrenaline that was pumping through him at the time that kind of just put him in that push.
Oh, you bet.
You know?
You bet. You know, you're caught up in the heat of the moment
yep.
there. And, you know, even if you're out of bounds,
yep.
you're going to hit somebody.
Exactly.
I don't care who you are.
Exactly. So that, it just, oh, my God. And then, you know, we got the AFC game, which was, you know, right even there, too. I mean, both games were overtime. Both games came down to the wire. I mean,
is this the first time we've ever had two OTs in a weekend?
I don't know if it's been first time, but it's got to be the first time in a
while.
Like, I don't remember, at least in maybe my lifetime, that it's gone to both.
Yeah, because, there's so much, you know, there's so much riding on
there's so much.
And not every game, not each game, but every play.
Right. You got to be there.
Every
for
play
every
is riding on it.
Exactly. And if you're not, things are going to fall apart.
Yep.
That's just how it goes down, and you got to be prepared.
Exactly. Myself being a Pats fan, you know, I'm going into the half, shutting out
yep.
a great Chiefs team this
yep.
year. And I'm not saying, you know, they're going to not be back next year, because they will be.
Right.
This kid Mahomes is something else.
He's unreal.
I was very impressed.
He's the next generation.
Oh, yeah, easily.
And he posted a video yesterday on Instagram of him at Topgolf. And Topgolf is the place. It's a fun place. It's a driving range. And dude looks like he's been playing baseball his entire life. His golf swing look like a pure baseball swing.
Really?
And sometimes when you try to have a baseball swing for a golf swing, 90% of the time it doesn't work. It's a completely different motion. Your mechanics are different. he's just a natural. Like, he is a natural at sports. And, like, his dad was a professional baseball player. He grew up in the clubhouse setting. Yeah. He knew how to become a leader. He's grown up on the lessons of how to become a leader and how to lead a clubhouse.
Yeah, a rookie comes in, first year in the league, over 50 touchdown passes, or at least 50 touchdown passes.
Well, sophomore.
Passes.
This is second year.
Second year?
Yep.
Okay.
Still.
My mistake. But second year, 50 touchdown passes.
How?
How's he going to top that?
I mean, this is what I thought. How could Gurley top what he did from his unreal season last year?
Oh, my God.
And he did. He literally went even more. So I don't even know if the threshold is set. Like, I feel like there might be even more production.
Oh, I think so, too.
Which is crazy.
Somebody's going to set a record that's so high on either touchdown passes or, you know, anything, going without an interception through so many passes or whatever.
Yep.
But Mahomes, I got a feeling, you know, that's who the torch is going to be passed
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He is going to be he's the next icon. He's the next guy that people are going to look up to.
Yes.
Like how people grew up looking up to Manning and Favre and Brady and all those greats that played in the 90s and the 2000s. And those are kind of the guys that I grew up kind of, you know, those were the ideal guys. The kids that are growing up now look for Mahomes. They're looking for Jimmy Garoppolo. They're looking for the young guys that are turning into the next generation of quarterback.
Right, exactly.
And those are the guys that are going to be leading this league on the leaderboards in the next decade.
Right.
Going into this next decade, it's going to be those guys.
Right. You go back. Let's go way back. Yep. I'm talking, because I'm old school.
Yep.
If anybody wants to see something where passing a torch, watch Super Bowl III with the Jets and the Colts.
Yep.
Namath was the
young... Was that Namath? I was going to say,
Namath was the young man on the Jets.
Yep.
And it was...
They were from behind, too, right?
What?
Were the Jets behind in
no,
that game?
No, they were ahead the whole game.
Okay.
But the point I'm trying to make here is passing the torch. Unitas sat there on the sidelines till the fourth quarter, came in and tried to bring the Colts back, but his arm was gone, shot. But the point is, all I'm trying to make to you, to everybody out there, is passing the torch.
Yep.
Namath was the one coming up, and Unitas was the one stepping down.
Yep.
And, I mean, Johnny Unitas played a few more years, but he was...
not the same Johnny.
He was an old man.
Right.
But now it's passing the torch. We looked at... And the way I saw that with Kansas City and New England, it's now going to be passed from Brady to this kid Mahomes.
Absolutely.
I see that.
It's a vision.
It is.
I completely see it.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
And it's like I love when sports change because nothing in sports is constant. Nothing.
No.
Sports are always developing at this rate that we can't even control because it's like our society. Our society can advance without us even doing anything about it. Buildings will just rise up. People will just get jobs. Money just comes in. That's just how life kind of just goes. And it's the same thing with sports. Sports just develop. That's just, you know, it's how it is. And to me, that's something that I look to as someone who's still young and someone who can still kind of develop the tracking period, you know, that progress of how you can see from one point of my life to now, really. And when you look at it holistically, there's been so many changes already in 21 years for me. And I've actually been able to identify those and study them. And, you know, there's not a lot of people my age that kind of pay attention to that stuff. They just look at sports for what's on paper and not the things that are actually kind of below the surface level.
Exactly.
You know?
Things are changing all the time.
All the time.
You know, in my lifetime, oh, my God, things have changed 1,000%. And I remember when football was nothing but smash mouth.
Yep.
Now, I mean, I understand that they're trying to protect these guys.
Right.
You know,
the
they
CTE
don't,
and...
Yeah, everything this...
right.
The
concussion
and, protocol, yep. Whatever. But for the safety of the game, I agree. Because if you have some of these guys that were back in the NFL
and
today,
wouldn't
happen.
They wouldn't last.
No, they would not last because they would just... they didn't care where they hit
Mm-mm.
you. But
Mm-mm.
now, even that one call that they that the Patriots got away with that roughing the passer,
yep.
where he missed him and he hit him in between
yep.
On his chest.
He was still like throwing the ball or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, that was not roughing.
Mm-mm.
You know, that's not even close
not
to roughing the passer. But back in the day, you can level the, you can kill the quarterback.
You can take your shoulder and just go for it.
Exactly.
No worries about it. You're going to have no penalty.
Exactly. And I understand that today that, you know, they want to protect these guys.
Yep.
They want to have some kind of thought memory when they, when they go out of the game.
Yep. Have you ever seen the movie Concussion?
Yes.
That movie changed my whole perspective on football.
Yeah, mine too.
Because Will Smith did a great job in that movie.
He was really good.
He was phenomenal.
Yes.
And the actors that played the football players that got injured were phenomenal, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because it is very hard to reenact someone with a mental disability like that. That is very hard to do. And it at the time, in the 70s, mid-70s, Mean Joe Green, that era on the Steelers, it was mostly the Steelers players that were getting them in that movie. But I saw that they just, there was no stop. It would be a continuous, you would get a concussion, probably not even know about it, and just keep playing through it and go and go and go.
Yeah, a lot of these older guys that were playing years ago.
Yeah.
Who was that
center on the Steelers? What was his name? Was that the guy?
That was one of them. His last name was Kolb.
Yep.
John Kolb,
yep.
I believe his name was. There was a lot of guys that played with concussions, didn't even know about it. You know, the two teams that really come to my mind with playing not only with concussions but with pain was either the
Eagles.
I would say the old Steelers and the old Oakland Raiders.
Okay, yeah.
Because there's a lot of them.
Jack Tatum,
Jim Otto,
yep,
who can barely get out of bed now because of his arthritis,
yep,
and whatever. But these guys played with pain, concussion.
Yeah.
Didn't even know about because they were never checked until it's too late.
And even like the wide receivers in that era, like Tim Brown, Raiders. I bet he's done.
He's
taken so many hits.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And the reason I actually know about a lot of these older players now recently, I've been playing Madden a lot in the past 3 or 4 months, and there's this game mode. It's called Ultimate Team. And you can build your team with some legends. So I have, you know, Reggie White, Chuck Bednarik, Jack Tatum.
Bednarik.
How do you pronounce it?
Bednarik. Played for the Eagles.
Center, right?
No, he was a defensive lineman for the Eagles.
Or D-line?
You ever see? He leveled Frank Gifford one afternoon, and Gifford never got up.
Gosh, that just tells you right
you'll
there.
You'll have to watch
yeah,
it. And he didn't hit him in the head.
Yeah.
He hit him square. He clotheslined him square across the chest, and Gifford did not get up.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... And, Dick LeBeau, you know, I got him. I got...
You can get anyone. You can get Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
You could get anybody that would hit hard.
Any type of legend, they're there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, after I saw that movie, like I said, it changed really everything. My perspective on football changed from, you know, there was a guy on the Niners, and Chris Borland, who was a middle linebacker. He went to University of Wisconsin. He looked good. He looked really good, and he actually retired in the same year Patrick Willis did. Patrick Willis was a 10-year veteran. You know, a smart move. And your career, good note, you know, easy. Don't want to take a risk for concussion, CTE. Chris Borland was a rookie. He played 1 year. Going into his second year, he retires. Same thought process, but an earlier standpoint. 8-9 years younger. And that's a guy that says, hey, I made my money in this year. I'm going to be good. Now I got to take care of myself. I got to be there for my family so I'm not gone by 40, 50 years old. And that's the type of responsibility that I think men are going to start taking more, hopefully, in this league, when they start taking more consideration for their future health, you know? Because it starts getting sketchy and scary when you start entering CTE.
Yeah, a lot of you look online every day now, or every other day or whatever.
Yep.
You see a lot of these players passing away.
Absolutely.
Because of what happened,
yeah,
to them playing
In their days,
yeah, because they were never checked.
There was no, and you know, the technology was not at the point where it is today, and there was just no, there wasn't any real intention to get something fixed. It was really just, we're playing with whatever we got on the surface level. You
exactly.
Know? And so that's where it's just, you never really know what you're going to get. So, I don't know. I think with a lot of those guys, it's definitely going to be something I think some scientists need to continue to do research on in the players now. Like, not the players. And the thing about CTE, you can really only, it's like Alzheimer's. You can really only test it after you die and scan your brain and find the differences in your brain. Because that's where it really comes down to is, you know, what's actually going on up here. But you can't really get that full assessment until you're gone, you know, which is unfortunate, but that's really the only way it is.
That's right.
But I feel like there's got, if we could find a way, which is like, I feel like in our society, we keep advancing. So there's nothing that we can't say isn't possible. I bet Teslas were not possible 10, 20 years ago.
No,
they
were not.
Thought about that idea. No one thought about a computer or a phone, anything. Anything that's already in our society. At one point, people didn't even think it was possible, fathomable, you know? I think there's got to be some advancement in football to the point where we can do continuous living studies.
I think the NFL needs not just a lot of advancement, because a lot of these guys, you know, you take a hit like that guy did the other day.
Done.
Finished.
It's potential career ending. You never know.
I don't care what they can do to doctor up helmets
yeah.
or whatever. One good hit, guess
Doesn't
what
matter.
Happens?
That's body-to-body contact, son.
Yeah,
That's
because if
done.
You look at the helmets back in the day, they were like paper.
Leather. Literally.
They start out with leather.
The Dick
leather.
Butkus helmet that I've seen
yeah.
is a leather helmet on my Madden game.
Yeah.
It's literally leather.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you seen the movie Leatherheads?
Yes, I have.
That movie, they're playing in the mud.
Yes.
They're playing with cardboard on top of their head.
They didn't care.
It doesn't matter. There was no other way to do it.
Do you know there was I saw another show. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. It was the first extension of like a Pop Warner football.
Yeah.
They didn't have helmets. The kids played with what you have on your head there, a stocking
little,
cap.
Little beanie.
That was a beanie
That's
on
it.
Their head. And they came, and those kids were.
They're 6 to 10 years old.
Yeah, and 12? And killing each other.
That's insane.
Yeah. Exactly. No helmets. And you tell me, you know, that's probably like the earliest version of maybe Australian rules football.
Yeah.
Or rugby.
Rugby.
Because all they did was run the ball up the middle.
Yeah.
And they didn't know
just
how to
deck each other.
That's it.
That's it. That's all you do.
You
don't have the intention of going for the body. You're going for the ball all
yes.
the time.
Exactly.
No, you're not playing in some NFC championship game. You're going for the ball.
Yep.
You know? So, I don't know. That's crazy to see how much that's honestly developed. I mean, like, I can't even imagine playing with a freaking leatherhead helmet, you know,
no,
on me. That'd be ridiculous.
I couldn't. Because I have a picture on an old program that I have when I saw the Rams play the Bears one afternoon
yep.
in the Coliseum. I know a lot of people have heard this guy, Bronco Nagurski.
Yep.
The only pictures you have of him playing football is with a leather helmet. And that man was nailed.
Yep.
But could you imagine today
nope.
playing with a leather?
Nope.
You can't, there's no way.
Can you imagine our United States of America that gets pissed off when someone takes a kneel during the national anthem? Could you imagine what would happen now? Like, how people would react to that? Are you kidding me?
I couldn't imagine.
Oh, my gosh. All hell would break loose.
Oh, yeah, it would.
Oh, my. People would just go off the chains.
You betcha.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's... And that was only what? That was in the 50s?
What, Bronco Nagurski?
No. That they were doing, like, leather helmets.
Oh, leather helmets was back in the, I would say... Early 50s, maybe late 40s.
I would 40, say 52, 40,
40s, 50, 50s.
Something like that.
That's all it was and no face mask
That's
either,
it.
People.
Nothing to cover this.
Nope.
You're going in full throttle.
That's exactly right.
Oh, man.
You know, there's another movie out there if you wanted to go, called North Dallas 40.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that or not.
I've not seen it.
That's probably the team is called the Dallas Bulls.
Okay. Fictional story?
It's not a true story, but it's all about football, that all the junk and crap that takes place behind the scenes.
It's probably like based on real
yes.
things that happen,
yeah.
but a fictional setting.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's supposed to be about about the Dallas Cowboys.
Gotcha.
Or Dallas Texans.
Right.
And with Nick Nolte, Mac Davis, has a lot of football players
wow.
in there.
When was this made?
Back 90s? In the 70s.
70s?
Yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah. What's it called?
North Dallas 40.
Okay.
And it shows everything that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they even, you know, they have games. And there's a play on there where the guy pulls his hamstring. And he's running down the field with a pulled hamstring.
Running.
And this guy comes up and just creams him.
Gosh.
And the only thing Nick Nolte is sitting, kneeling over this guy and says, fix his face. He says, his face is caved. Now, today...
Oh.
I mean, could you imagine?
No, we'd get nowhere close to that.
No.
Like, there'd be no way in possibility.
Yeah, and all they're saying in that sense of that part of the movie is the coach is yelling at Nick Nolte saying, to heck with him, get back to the huddle and get back to the game.
Yeah.
He says, we have people to fix him up. And it's just like, oh, my God, are you serious?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that goes down.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, in the last 5 minutes that we're going to talk here, let's talk about some Hall of Fame action. All righty?
All righty.
So, got four people in. That was, you know, decent class. Honestly, I expected one or two more. I expected a little larger. Mike Messina, Roy Halladay, Edgar Martinez, and the unanimous, Mariano. So this is what I was talking about on my show yesterday was Mariano, first person in history to be unanimous. Okay? Let's run this back through baseball history, Charles, okay?
All right.
Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, Lou Gehrig, Christy Mathewson, Ty Cobb.
You can go through the very first class.
Anyone. No one.
No one was unanimous.
No one in history has ever been unanimous.
No, and you think they would, especially you throw out the name Babe Ruth?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
So Babe Ruth was not a unanimous vote. Who's the guy that didn't think Babe Ruth should be in the Hall of Fame? I want to know who that guy is.
People, who saved baseball?
What is going on here? Like, these are the legends.
Come on, wait all this time for, and finally somebody gets in unanimously?
So now Mariano is the threshold. Now Mariano is the precedent. He is... He's the space where we have to look to now.
Yeah, no.
Like we couldn't have looked to Nolan Ryan or Babe Ruth, like we said, or Honus Wagner or Ty Cobb. Anyone, no one. Like we can't look to them because now it's Mariano.
Yeah, I don't get that at all because, like I said, go back to the first class of
Christy,
ones in
Ty,
in Cooperstown,
Babe. Honus,
are you serious?
No,
I mean,
one.
I know these guys did foolish things when they played, but who is hitting over, let's say, 340, 350 for their lifetime? Nobody anymore.
One.
Don't give me that.
No.
This one's going to do this, and this one's going to do that.
Altuve was 320. I think that was the 325. That was like the closest.
Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb could hit that in their sleep.
They could hit that with their eyes closed.
Exactly.
One-handed.
Lou Gehrig.
Ted
wasn't even Lou Gehrig was dead.
Yeah,
when he was put into the Hall of Fame,
most of those guys were
first man ever also to have his number retired, ever before Babe Ruth, number four. And but you know I know it's a great thing what Mariano did, but unanimously
it just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't,
I mean, like for me, I know I looked up, I saw like. Undrafted, no one gave him a chance. He had very little shot of making the majors, and then you have his 18-year success story. Like, yeah, okay, like put him in the hall, but don't make him the setting that we have to now look for to see who's going to be unanimous
exactly.
in the future. Because I feel like now it's going to be a lot easier. Jeter's going to be unanimous now. Jeter's got to be. If Mariano's unanimous, you got to look.
Yeah,
he's 100% going to be. So I think now it's like. And then you got to start looking at the steroid guys. And my thing with the steroid guys, it happened. It's like the civil rights. This is what I was telling my friend yesterday. It's like the civil rights movement in history books. The civil rights movement gets about 10%, maybe even less coverage than that in United States history books. And the civil rights movement happened. It's nothing that we can't say did not happen. We can't shun it. And we have to accept that it was a part of our history.
Yes.
Just like the steroid era. No, it's not the most pure type of baseball that we've seen. Obviously not. But it's a part of the game. And the writers that are denying the steroid guys right now, that's how they made their careers when they were mid-20s. When they were the sports writers in the 90s covering these stories, that's how they made their bang for their buck.
That's right.
That's how they made their career. It's how they started everything. And now they're the guys that are denying the votes? That just doesn't seem right. You know,
a lot of people ought to go back and if you really want to know and learn about baseball itself,
yep.
Watch Ken Burns baseball.
Absolutely. That is amazing.
You talk about, I mean, watch every inning,
every
minute.
Every one.
Even if you have to watch it in little segments at a time before
exactly.
you get through, it'll take you a while.
Yeah.
But you will see, everybody thought, okay, well, you know, it looks really great on old film. This happened, that happened. No.
Yep.
a lot of crap went on back then, too, with the Black Sox.
The Black Sox scandal.
Betting on the World Series.
Pete Rose later on.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like we can't deny that it happened because it happened.
How many times did Babe Ruth get suspended with the Yankees?
Oh, gosh.
How many? He even threatened to throw his manager off the train one afternoon.
Gosh.
And they suspended him. It wasn't all fun and games back then.
No. It was still baseball. Yeah. I mean, they still had rules, and like Babe Ruth was kind of the Draymond of the league. He was hated by a lot of people. After that move, after he'd switched from the Sox to the Yanks, that was huge in baseball history.
It was.
That went down forever is one of the craziest things that's ever going to – that was unheard of.
Yeah.
And to go from pretty much an everyday pitcher to a full-time outfielder was kind of unheard of.
He pitched – you know, a lot of people think that he went to the Yankees and just – was an outfielder.
Pitched a little bit, right?
He pitched a little for the Yankees, but not much. But he was still
effective.
Still a great pitcher.
Right. And he probably could have. Kind of like Ohtani. I mean, he probably could have, but it's probably better for him to just be a hitter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Same kind of concept.
But now look at this kid with the Angels, Ohtani.
Oh, yeah.
Where is he now?
He's, what do you mean?
Going through Tommy, he's already going
through Tommy John.
Tommy John surgery. Babe Ruth did not, I mean, I know they didn't know about Tommy John surgery back in the 20s. But he played... when he played.
Yep.
Overweight or not.
Yeah.
But, yes, these kids are saying, okay, this Ohtani is the modern-day Babe Ruth. No. He is not.
Babe wouldn't have had the problems with the injuries. He was a different type of mindset, different type of mental player.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, we weren't alive in the 20s and 30s. But, you know, we've done our research. We've read books. Like,
yeah.
We know. You can put that picture of Babe in your head of even just like getting the opportunity to see that man play.
Yeah.
I mean that if you could go back and see anyone play, Babe Ruth would be at the top of my list.
Yeah, you want to go back in time, people, go visit Cooperstown.
Yeah. Have you been?
I've been twice.
It's one of the greatest places I've been to this day.
It is the greatest, and it's the
You walk in there and you feel like you're 8 years old again.
It doesn't even look like a Hall of Fame. You know, it's just a brick building.
It's just, you go in and Cooperstown's awesome. Like the whole, the Cooperstown surrounding.
Cooperstown is the town that time forgot.
Absolutely.
I would live there in a minute.
Upstate New York's beautiful too. So you got everything that you can do upstate around you. But Cooperstown, that city itself is fun.
It is.
They got the little league field going on. They got all the little baseball card shops and the restaurants and everything's baseball themed, and like I said, you feel like you're 8 years old again. You feel like you're going to your little league game, and you know, with your buddies, and you're just having the time of your life. But you are at the shrine.
Yes,
you are at the ultimate holy place of baseball, and you can't even really realize it because you're just there.
You want to learn. You want to learn about the game of baseball. That's where to learn.
You go if you want to start. You go to Cooperstown.
You can go and sit in seats. From the old ballparks.
Yep. Watch the movies.
Yep. And you can hear the old PA announcers when you
plug in your audio. It's so funny.
Oh, it's great in there.
And just like, obviously the plaques, you know, of the heads and you see all the names. That's awesome. My favorite part, though, was just walking around the museum and just seeing all the artifacts and seeing like history in front of your eyes.
And some of those guys, some of the people that we have mentioned have their own room.
Absolutely.
Babe Ruth has his own room. It's
like Wagner, Cobb,
Gehrig.
Gehrig,
Williams.
Yep.
They're
not big, but they're dedicated to them.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
They got a good amount of stuff.
Oh, they've got a great amount of stuff. You wouldn't believe it.
You can't even think.
But, if anybody wants to learn about baseball, you got to make a trip. You got to make a trip.
And I went, there was one year, I think when I was like 10 or 11 years old, there was a little, I don't know if you've ever been to these, but they do these Hall of Fame exhibits.
Yes.
Where they kind of bring them to, so there was one in Oakland one time. My dad brought me and my two of my three sisters out there. And I remember seeing, it was a lot of A's stuff, you know, it was Ricky Henderson and the bases, and they targeted Oakland.
Oakland's had some great teams over the years.
They've had some great players.
Oh, yeah.
Great Hall, even about, you know, Raleigh and going back to the 70s, 80s, like, they got history.
You can go back in the 60s.
Later.
You know, there was the Kansas City Athletics.
Yep.
That moved to Oakland. They get great players.
Yep.
Philadelphia Athletics.
Yep.
Who was their manager? Connie Mack.
One of the greatest.
Come on now.
Yep.
Jimmy Fox.
Crazy.
You know, we're talking
oldies here.
Mega Hall of Famers.
Yep.
Everybody says look what the A's did over this past season.
Yep.
Won over 90 games, weren't even expected to come in.
Nothing but
last place in their division. But I remember Oakland winning three in a row.
Yep.
Back in the 70s. And great teams.
Yeah.
Great players.
It's like that Moneyball team. They once that A's team goes, they find mojo and they hit it and
yep.
they go.
Exactly.
It's crazy. I don't get it. I mean, it's like that all they got to do is just make it. You know, they can play their game of baseball and just make it. And you know, it's worked out a couple of times.
Yeah, you know Oakland, you know, you see back with these players they had, who would ever thought they would trade? They traded all of them back in the day. Reggie Jackson, Sal Bando, Dick Green, Gene Tennis, all of them.
Just gone.
They were traded.
Yeah.
And they went, look at what Reggie Jackson did with the Yanks.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, everybody knows that story. Yeah. But
the A's.
They were on the A's.
Yeah.
That's why they were winning world championships.
They had Hall of Fame guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of on the side, you know. You know, whatever. But that's pretty much that. And last point, I think, do you think Barry should make it?
I know you're the Giants man and everything. I'm going to have to say no.
No?
I'm going to have to say no because I just don't agree with the steroids part of it. If he wouldn't have done I don't know how much he did of it.
Yeah, it's still unclear, honestly.
Great ball player. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. When he was in Pittsburgh, he was the way I perceive this, Barry Bonds was a stick.
Yeah.
Very skinny.
He was very thin.
Very thin.
Yeah.
He gets to San Francisco. I mean, just muscles up like Mark McGwire.
I know. We all saw it.
We all saw it.
We all saw it.
It's nothing new. But Barry Bonds, great ball player.
Yep.
I give him that. But when it comes to the steroids thing,
that's
where I draw the line.
Yeah.
But you never know. Maybe they will let him in one day. Maybe they'll let Pete Rose in one day.
The thing is, we only have three more years of this eligibility.
Yeah.
And that's what's just like, I was talking to my dad, and like, normally on this type of case, it like, you get a big percentage increase on your last year. That's when the mm-hmm. riders kind of cave and you kind of get to that 75, 76 range. So I don't know. I understand the perspective of, you know, the steroids, you don't put them in. And that's kind of the more baseball purist, you know, way to look at it. And like, I like to consider myself a purist, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of it with like a more open mindset just because I don't know. I think, like I said, you can't deny history. And like, even though it was not right, it was wrong, obviously, but it still happened and it was still in the history books. And like, yeah, people might put asterisks on that 756 and 750, but I don't know. I think that there's got to be a point where we break the line and we just, I don't know. I
think
feel
you're
like
right about breaking.
Spot.
I think, you know, you bring up a good point there because, these guys did produce. I know they used the PEDs
yep.
or whatever, but before Barry Bonds got to San Francisco, his numbers were outstanding.
Absolutely, he was playing very good baseball.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
and a lot of these other guys, you know, Sammy Sosa. They were talking about. He didn't get very many of the votes.
Nope. He's still low. He's like 8%.
Yeah, it was real low. But a lot of these guys are not, you know, I don't know if they're going to be shunned or not trying to get into the Hall.
That's what's going to be nuts. I mean, three more years, that puts us to, what, 2022?
Yeah.
So that's going to, I'll be 24, 25 by then.
Yeah.
So I talked to my dad. I was just like, man, I hope by that time, you know, it happens. Because, you know, for me, like you said, like I'm a big Giants fan, and a lot of my childhood was really based off of going to those Giants games. And like, a big part of my childhood was based off the excitement of have my dad pull me out of school saying we're going to a dentist or doctor's. And for 3 or 4 hours, we'd go up to a San Francisco day game and I would just watch Barry and I would pray that he would hit a splash hit because those splash hits, they electrified not only the stadium, but you. And like, I remember feeling so content and the electricity within the stadium when I would watch Barry Bonds play.
Right.
And I don't know, when I went to Cooperstown, I've always felt like there's an area for Barry there. Like there's got to be some point of history when we can just turn the page, you know, and kind of not like get over it, but just find a way to address it better. Because I feel like people are just only using that argument because it's the rule. Not because there's ever been anything different, you know? So definitely something to keep in mind going into the next. I actually learned that, you know, the Tim Baines induction that happened this year, but that was based off of a different voting system.
Right.
And I actually have never really known that, but I've always kind of picked up that there's been two elections each year.
Right.
So I wonder if there's going to be, you know, any new kind of voting system that is going to be implemented.
There might be. You never might know. Might be.
I've heard a lot of rumors about if, let's say, you're like trying to get the unanimous vote and you're at 90%, and that last guy, that 9 out of 10 guy who doesn't put it in, that vote automatically gets thrown out and he can't vote. So pretty much if you're at the point of making someone unanimous, then you can't, you're pretty much pressured in before. And the guys that have been inducted into the hall, the legends, the Hall of Famers, they didn't have social media to really get exposed. And now these baseball writers, if they're not the ones that are putting the unanimous vote in, they're getting exposed on social media.
Exactly.
You know, their career could be on the line because they weren't the guy.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, you like you said, you didn't have the mass amount of sports writers.
Exactly.
And things like that. There's a lot of players that played back in the 30s, 40s, 20s that are not even, people don't even know who they are.
They're not even considered because they're not in the modern sports era.
Exactly.
Or they're not in the, I feel like sports goes from 50s on. Football, it's 50s on because there wasn't really, what was the first year of the league?
We're talking, you go back.
Was it 40s?
40s, 30s, maybe even the 20s. Jim Thorpe.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, he played professional football.
That was in the 20s, actually. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, people like that.
But there weren't Super Bowls until the
50s,
right?
No, there was
not.
No, they just played to play. They made a few dollars to play.
Yeah.
Jim, like I said, I mentioned Jim Thorpe because, you know, he was one of the big ones.
He was a scandal, too.
Well, he took it, you know, he and it didn't involve football either.
No, it was Olympics. Right?
Not only that, it was baseball.
Yeah.
He played professional baseball for the New York Giants,
yep.
Accepted money, they took his medals away, and he gave up baseball after that, and he was one of the, probably the originators of the NFL.
Yeah.
I would have to say so.
Yeah. That's crazy to think. That was 90 years ago.
Yeah. That's another place you got to go.
Oh, where?
Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
Everything and anything there is Jim Thorpe.
That's
I've been there because when I live back east, you know, I would go everywhere.
Yeah.
It's easy access. But there is a place for him, and there's a movie that nobody knows. I don't know if it's called White Heat.
I haven't seen it.
It's with Jim Cagney, and it's the last gangster movie he ever made back in the 40s.
Huh.
Or 50s, I should say. There is a part in that movie where they're sitting in the mess hall in the prison. And one of the prisoners in that movie is Jim Thorpe.
Really?
Yeah, he plays a bit part. Actually Jim Thorpe.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Have you been to Canton?
I've been to Canton, Ohio.
You've been to all the halls?
I've been to every
hall. Same here.
Yeah, I've been to Springfield.
Yep, Springfield's cool, too.
I like the basketball one.
Have you been to Indy? Have you been to this is just super random. It's like the Indy 500 Hall of Fame. No.
No,
I'm not
a racing fan at all.
Yeah. No, I'm
but
not.
But yeah, the three major sports
you've covered. Same here.
Yeah.
I've driven by the NCAA basketball. I believe that's in Kansas City.
That's in Kansas City.
Where's the football? Atlanta?
What, NFL?
No, the NCAA football.
I have not been there.
I feel like I've also driven by that one in some other random city. But I've driven by the one in Kansas City. I was with my mom, so we were on the way out to University of Missouri, so we couldn't actually stop in. But
right.
If I was with my dad, we would have put that into the trip 100%. But Canton's cool. Canton's a great place. They got all the Madden stuff.
Everything.
They got the field. They got, you know, anything you could dream of.
Yeah.
It's great. Springfield, same thing. They got the court and...
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved
the court. Was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I went up there.
A lot of hands-on participation.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're trying to focus on, is so you can be more interactive there.
Yes.
So Cooperstown's following that same model. So, all righty. Well, I believe that will end this segment of the Grand Slam. Charles, I want to thank you for coming on again.
Anytime, Sam.
It was very good. Very fun. Always talking sports with you. So, everybody, I will be... I'm looking to post some more content pretty soon. Trying to do at least once every other day. maybe once every 3 days, something like that, but definitely weekly. So just keep checking the Anchor FM app and Spotify. I've been uploading those. I believe they just get uploaded automatically. So keep an eye out for that. But I believe that wraps it up for the Grand Slam. Thank you guys all for tuning in. I appreciate your viewership, and you all have a nice day.